Hello, and welcome to our second episode of Dear Non-Disabled People. I'm Zoe Joyner, and today I'll be co-hosting this episode with Ariel Silverman.
Welcome, and today we have two guests with us, Jessica Chaikin and Mark Odom from the National Rehabilitation Information Center. So I'll go ahead and let you guys introduce yourselves. Jess?
Okay. My name is Jessica Chaikin. I'm the Media and Public Education Manager at the National Rehabilitation Information Center. Mark?
And I am Mark Odom, the Project Director of NERIC. Might be noted that Jess and I have been together on this project for, some 18 years, so we're probably thinking the same things as we answer some of these. In addition, I also have a spinal cord injury post almost 44 years coming up next month, and I've been very active in the spinal cord injury group and an advocate for all people with disabilities. That's me.
Thank you, both of you. So we've prepared some questions that we would like both of you to answer for us. Zoe, do you want to begin with the first one?
Sure. Have you had, in your personal and, I guess, work life?
Mark, I'll let you take that one.
Okay, certainly, spinal cord injury, and as I said, I was injured back in 1977, and if you roll the time clock back, that's before the Rehab Act, before almost all legislation as we come to know now, the ADA and everything. So having a disability then is quite different than now. I am a full-time wheelchair user, and even the simplest things, the curb cuts in the city to get down and up curbs were unheard of in those early days. So challenges were physical in nature as far as the physical barriers. In addition, you know, in the early days, you still had a lot of folks that didn't know how to approach a person with a disability, weren't really sure, you know, what if you didn't have a personal association with someone with a disability, you probably had no idea what it was about. So you face those, I don't want to say that they're prejudices, but certainly people having a certain association of feeling and working around them. And work life, I've always felt that it's been a pretty level playing field. One thing at work is you're judged by what you produce. It's a pretty much work as it should be, and I hope is a results-oriented type of atmosphere, if you will. So if you're producing well and you're working well and have good results, then I think you do well. It's just the same as most anyone else. And Jess, you might want to expound on that a little.
Excuse me. I think as far as our team is concerned, everybody's coming to the table with the same, at the same level. We're all bringing our individual experiences. I am not a person with a disability, but I have educational experience in disability. I have a master's in American Sign Language linguistics. But I think we all came to this job not necessarily because we were people with disabilities, but because we were focused on providing the right information resources to people who needed them in the best way possible. So the biggest challenge for me has been tracking new technology, how it's being used by the community, by people with disabilities, by rehabilitation professionals, and making sure we're using it to the best advantage. And now I have to call. Pardon me. You can edit that out.
I'm trying to, yeah, I agree. I think everybody on our team, certainly the NERIC team, comes in there with a special sense of helping out and helping people. You know, you hear about paying it forward. It isn't necessarily something like that, but we all have an extra sense of doing something. And so certainly on the information end, our information specialists talk to them frequently about when they do find a piece of information or they help someone out that really makes a difference in someone's daily life. And I like to say it's as good as a paycheck. It might not pay the rent, but indeed, I think the personal satisfaction you get and helping someone out and providing that kind of information is really shared by each of us from heart to heart.
Great, thank you. So the next question for both of you, and Jess, you can start, is how has your childhood impacted your career choices and anything that has impacted your decision to work in the disability field?
In terms of my childhood, I really love the hunt for information. I like doing the research. I used to joke with a friend of mine that I really like looking stuff up. And she said, well, you should probably be a librarian. And as it happened, that's the career that I ended up in. In terms of working in disability, I really came to it through ASL because I have a love of language and I discovered American Sign Language late in my college career and decided to pursue that. Besides that, I think I was probably like most Americans. You kind of have a peripheral experience of disability until you find yourself in a position when you are no longer able to function the way you did before. And since then, of course, I have a much more profound understanding of it. I'm sure that will change over time as well.
Yeah. I think for myself, childhood, in many ways, I don't know, I always lean towards writing and being a writer. And I also happen to have quite a love for sports, and so early on, I kind of felt like I probably come out to be a sports writer somewhere along the line. I have a degree in journalism, and interesting enough, I had 2 years of college finished before I was injured in a diving accident. And at that point, again, back to the 70s, not a lot of accessibility. I kind of realized that I wasn't going to get into the locker room very easily and interviewing sports figures and whatnot, and realized that although I still had this, I don't know if it was a love, but certainly it's attraction towards writing, being a sports writer probably wasn't going to happen. And along with a writer, I think you also goes hand in hand with research, and it just says looking things up, whether it's background information or whatnot. And so I've always had this sense of looking things up and wanting to be close to the research and what's the latest going on. And there is something to be said for that hunt. It's neat to have a challenge to try. And you might know something's out there now in the internet, though. And it's just a matter of trying to find it and hunt for those different gems, whether it is just for background information for an article or getting back to some of the primary work of NARIC to, help someone out with a problem they're having. And so I think that's the childhood tie-in I have.
I think definitely the wish to connect the right thing to the right person, whether it's as a librarian doing the research or as a writer getting the experience into the hands of the reader. I think that's where we're both coming from.
For sure.
Okay, next question.
What is the mission of your organization?
Well, NARIC is, we're a library and information center, and we focus on disability and rehabilitation research. Our core mission is to collect and disseminate the results of projects that are funded by the National Institute on Disability, Independent Living, and Rehabilitation Research, and get that research out into the community. We maintain a fairly large collection of research literature, and then we also have these information and referral services that more often than not are connecting people to organizations rather than researchers, but we do spend a fair amount of time and energy developing resources to highlight what the NIDLR community has created, the work that they're doing, and getting people engaged in their research. You want to add anything to that, Mark?
No, I think that's pretty close. I think on a secondary level, you know, we've kind of reached out and made sure that we're looking at the information and trying to expand its use and its usability. We have a couple of the existing projects now where we're putting research into lay persons, more of a lay language, just to broaden its appeal out there. So we're really into trying to disseminate this information on the widest form we can.
How has recent legislation impacted the disability community, or impacted NARIC, in your opinion?
The most recent legislation that impacted NARIC was the Workforce Opportunity and Investment Act, which moved our funding agency, NIDLR, from the Department of Education to the Administration for Community Living. And the biggest impact that had for us, besides the administrative part of it, was it really made us focus on the concept of community participation. What does it mean to ensure that a person can interact with their environment and engage in the community of their choosing? And what can we do to make that possible? Other legislation, I'll let Mark speak to that.
I think, yeah, generally, the other legislation, I would think, is that it's helped folks, people with disabilities, and oftentimes when I say that, maybe family members and advocates of folks with disabilities realize that they belong, that they're entitled to, they do have civil rights to everything that one might have if you didn't have a disability. And it makes a big difference, I think, when you approach the feeling that I belong as an approach, I need a handout. And that's generally, I think, folks now know they belong. They're looking for information because they have a right to some information. You know, you might be so crass as to say, I pay taxes, and I know my money, my taxes go towards this, so I want it. And it's, you know, no different than years ago I heard the little anecdote that, you know, there's a big uproar about televisions and having closed captioning put in every television. And some people in the community were like, well, why would I have to pay for this technology? I'm perfectly hearing. I don't have any need for this. And very quickly it came back, well, the deaf community said, well, all my life I've been paying for the sound that you listen to. So, you know, it's kind of that sort of a thing where you belong and you have a right for every piece that everyone else has a right to. It's refreshing. I think it has been embraced recently. So that's where I would place it, as well as Justice Park.
How do you think the life of people with disabilities has changed over the past 50 years?
Just observation. I can only speak observationally, so I'll let Mark answer that one.
Yeah, since I'm over 50, right?
Oh, yeah, it's yeah. I'm close, though, so.
Yeah. And I am approaching actually 50 years as a person with a disability. But certainly, again, with the legislation that the ADA has brought forth, both the physical barriers and just generally an acceptance. I think nowadays, you know, we don't know. There's no child that doesn't know the ADA with a disability. There's no child that doesn't know that, you know, years ago they weren't even allowed in public schools. So you're able to get that public education through legislation, and you know it's equalizer. Quite honestly, is an association. I think that in a way, the more folks with disabilities get out inside and are participating and have been allowed to participate, and the doors have been open to participate, the more they associate with folks that might never have come across someone with a disability. And that kind of is an awareness that helps them or helps folks that wouldn't otherwise been associated with someone with a disability realize, you know what, any preconceived notion I had isn't right. They're just like me in every way, you know. Eat, breathe, bleed, you know. We're all just, human beings. So I think that in many ways is what's changed, that overall you see a lot more folks with disabilities, even in television and programming and the movies and whatnot. The visibility of a person, it's becoming commonplace. Disability is becoming commonplace. Has it gotten there all the way that I'd like to see it yet? No, but we're working on it. And I expect it will.
One thing I've seen with the research, certainly the research that's come out of our funding agency, is the shift from talking about disability in terms of not inability and in terms of the clinical presentation and what's called the medical model, and instead talking about how the person interacts with their environment and how the environment impacts their ability to interact. So the environmental model. Part of that has to do with visibility. Just people with disabilities are now out in the community, in school, at hotels, in businesses. So we now have to talk about how do the barriers that are up in place, what effect do they have and how can we remove them? How is an organization improved by simply bringing people of diverse abilities in? And the fact that we're using terms like inclusion and diversity instead of symptom and function. I think that has made a huge difference in the lives of people with disabilities. I hope so, at least, again, observationally.
So last main question for both of you is, do you think that things are going in a positive or a negative direction today for people with disabilities?
I would say both.
I could answer that 2 years ago and answer that today.
Yeah.
Very differently.
Yes, I think our environment, the changes in our current climate, both the actual climate and the political climate are influencing my answer there. I think there has been so much progress, and I think that we are headed in the right direction in so many ways. I think we have some outmoded ideas and attitudes that need to be finally put away because they keep creeping up and pulling some things back. Things like the ideas of sheltered workshops, of minimal pay, the idea
nursing
of making
homes.
Nursing homes and health insurance, healthcare especially, those I see pulling back on some of the improvements myself. How about you, Mark?
Yeah, as I started saying, I'd answer that quite differently 2 years ago than I might today. And first, do realize you're hearing from one of the all-time tough-minded optimists, so I'm always going to feel like it's going positive one way or the other. And I think it is. The genie's out of the bottle. And you might have some people that are trying to stuff it back in or don't see things, but that's not going to change the tide. It might slow the tide down a little bit, but it's still going to continue forward. You know, for one thing, folks with disabilities and people who are associating with them and whatnot, it's a growing minority, you know. We're all, this country, another 30 or 40 years, I'd like to believe, is going to be a group of all minorities. You know, there's not going to be a majority. And part of that is, you know, folks with disabilities are going to be one of the many minorities that running, helping this political climate mm-hmm. move forward and helping everybody move forward. Mm-hmm. Still positive.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Either of you have any final thoughts or would like to share, any other skills you need for your job?
I think the biggest skill for that I need for my job is just the ability to listen and understand. Sometimes people call us, and that's all they're looking for is someone to hear the issues that they're having. But really, it's about listening to understand what their needs are and respond with the right pieces of information, the right contact. Whether you want to call that active listening or listening for content, listening for the goal. I think that's a powerful skill for any librarian to have, especially the ones that are at the reference desk or answering the phone.
Well, first I want to thank you for this opportunity to help us talk about NERIC and some of the pieces here. And it leads me into something that actually just in an interesting way neither one of us quite mentioned, but the role that technology has played in this and the opportunity that you have with the podcast. You know, my goodness, you know, just a few years ago, no one would have had any idea what a podcast was, let alone the ability to quickly reach a lot of folks out there. So the technology is also on, I think, the side of people with disabilities because it is making things that much easier. When designed the right way, sometimes you have to go back and retrofit some things, but generally I think technology and folks with disabilities are embracing it and taking a hold of it very quickly to their advantage. They're going to make it work for them. They realize what an opportunity it is. And so it's kind of neat to see.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Well, thank you to both of you for your time and your invaluable perspectives.
Thank you for giving us the opportunity to share them. Much appreciated.
Yep. Look forward to hearing it and telling all my friends.
Stop recording.
Okay.
Awesome.